Okay, Luke chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read together just one verse, all right? Ready? 1, 2, begin. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before your presence. We're asking you, Lord, to speak to us in a special way. Lord, we are thankful so much for your mercy and your grace on a daily basis. The fact that, Father, we can live from day to day is evidence of your grace. Lord, today as we hear from your word, we pray that our hearts will be filled with thankfulness. Our hearts will be filled with obedience, Lord, as to what you would have us to hear. We pray for everyone here that will be hearing this message. Lord, I ask that you open their hearts, that they might take steps of faith, Lord, to be more and more, to become a disciple of Christ. And God will thank you for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, today we're going to take a slightly different, approach. All right, usually we take a passage and we'll expound the passage. Today we'll be talking about the habits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The habits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're talking about the habits, we're taking a more topical approach whereby we're looking at different parts of the Bible. All right, I took primarily from the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, so that we can see some of the things that Jesus did. Because one of the things as a disciple is we must be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we need to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last two sessions, if you would remember, the first one we saw the process of discipleship. What does it mean to have a process of discipleship? The process of discipleship means that before we become a disciple of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ called us to follow him. But before that, in order for Jesus to send us out to tell other people about Christ, we need to be with Christ first. Does that make sense? That's our verse for the month, okay? God, Jesus ordained 12 that they might be with him, that he may send them forth to preach, okay? So then last week, we talked about the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was his heart? Compassion, okay? What is compassion? What is compassion? What is compassion? Okay, love with sorrow. Good. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Amen. But what does it mean, love with sorrow? Okay? We would love this person, but whatever the person goes through, you actually feel painful. You feel pain and sorrow for the person to the point that you would do something about it. That's genuine compassion. I mentioned also there are many nice people in this world, but nice people doesn't mean they're compassionate. A person who is compassionate will reach out when no one else will. Okay? In Bethel Baptist Church, we're filled with Christians who will not only know and see the need, but will also say, I'll do whatever I need to do. Alright? To be compassionate, because Jesus was compassionate. So today, we're going to look at the habits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Some of the habits that Jesus had. And it's quite interesting. Now, before I go into the habits, I want to remind us what a disciple is. The ultimate goal of every disciple is to be like his master. Okay? To be like his master. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 40, the verse that we read. The Bible says the disciple is not above his master. The disciple is not above his master. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, if he goes through certain things in his life, we as followers of Jesus are not exempted from what he goes through. Does that make sense? Okay, the second part of the verse says, but everyone that is perfect, that is growing in Christ, shall be as his master. The word as his master has to do with the fact that if you are a Christian who is growing in discipleship and loving Jesus for who he is, you will actually follow and imitate his life. That's what it means by as his master. Does that make sense? In other words, a disciple is someone who follows Christ through and through. Whatever he says, whatever attitudes even that he has, we will follow because we are his disciple. Okay? And that's very important because many Christians today follow Jesus on their own terms. They follow Christ because of this part. I like this part of Jesus, but I'm not going to do this part. And we tend to pick and choose. But you know, as a genuine disciple of Christ, we need to follow who Jesus is and what he did and what was his habits like. Okay, John put it this way in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. It's written inside the, for those who have just joined us today, we actually have the verses there written down. Okay, 1 John 2 6 says this: He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If you say you're a Christian, that's what John says, then your life must be patterned after his. In other words, if Jesus spoke in a certain way literally, then we should be speaking in a certain way. If Jesus felt for something, then we need to feel the same thing. And that was why last week we talked about compassion. If we really want to follow Jesus, we need to have the same heart of compassion that he has. Because the Bible tells us that if we say that we are staying with him, then we ought to walk the same way he walked. Okay? Now, a true disciple's primary purpose is to become a duplicate of his teacher. A duplicate of his teacher. Every Christian's main goal must be to become more Christ-like every day. Not talking about every week you come to church, every day. Because you know you have the Bible in your hand, and as you read it on a daily basis, and if you're a genuine believer, you can be sure God wants to speak to you. Amen? All right, he's like our father and our mother on a daily basis who communicates with us. You know what? God wants to speak to us every day or ask us about us. And you know, sometimes God will comfort us with his word. Sometimes God will meet a need through his word. And sometimes God will instruct us through his word. You know, one of the biggest things God wants us to be is become more and more like Jesus on a daily basis. That's why we need to read the Bible. Okay? So, how do we become more like Christ? By trying very hard, right? We try very hard to be like Jesus, right? Okay. There are two principles I believe is very important, very simple principles. Remember, 2 weeks ago I said about discipleship is not about just doing. We do, but it's about being. Being more like Christ. Two principles. Number one, how to be more like Christ, we need to begin with a heart of submission. The Bible says in Romans 6:17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin," past tense, "but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which have delivered you." In other words, when you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, you realize, hey, I'm a sinner, and I know I'm on my way to hell. And say, Lord, if you love me so much to die for you, I give my life to you. I submit myself to you. Begin with a heart of submission, and then continue with a heart of obedience. Obedience. Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." That verse simply means, don't you know that who you submit and obey, you become that person's servant? Okay? In the world of learning, for example, there are many, many methods. Some call it the Shikata method. Is it Shikata? Shikata? Shishida method, the Japanese method of learning. Then there's a Kumon method of learning. And then there's a, what other method? Many, many other methods of Montessori method of learning. Okay, and some people will swear by certain Montessori, I'll just follow Montessori and do Montessori. Another one will be, what? Shishida, right? I think it's not Shigada. Shishida method, and they just swear by that. And some go for what? Mind stretcher, and then mind what? What else? Mind champs, okay? All right, mind champs, how much those programs are. But anyway, they go to this kind of thing, and you swear by that, and you just go by that, you know? And once they're so-called hooked into it, they follow that track. You know, as a Christian, that's what it means. If you follow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and you obey that train of thinking and the train of life, you will become more and more like Jesus. But when we follow things like the world and we adopt philosophies of the world and do things like the world, we just become more and more like the world. All right, that's what this verse means. You know, in Christian life, we just need to obey. Yeah, I shared with you last. I actually wanted to. It would be good if Ruth and Ezra would come, because I actually had this example. I wanted to put it on here, but my Mac died in terms of the battery, so I didn't know what else to do. But just imagine if you give Ruth a piece of paper, you know Ruth? Not in the Bible, our Ruth, you know, the baby Ruth, huh? Okay? If you give her a pencil, what do you think she will do? She will probably put in her mouth. I think Ruth may be a bit smarter than that now. Okay, she may do some scribbling, right? Okay? Now, Ezra, what do you think Ezra will do? Okay, Ezra had some handwriting lessons from one of my daughters, and he's actually able to like follow the dots now. Okay, so from Ruth, Ezra, and then you get Hui Chi. Where's Hui Chi? Hui Chi's upstairs. Okay, so get Hui Chi to write. She may be able to write better now. Okay, then you ask Esther Joy to write. Then she'll probably write a bit better. And then you ask Joanna to write. Then you'll probably write a bit better. Can you visualize that sequence? From Ruth to Ezra to Hui Chi to Joy to Joanna, and probably cannot use adults, because let's face it, some adults cannot write legibly. Like me. Okay, I cannot write legibly. But what I'm saying is, how do we grow? You know, some people say you must grow in Christ means you must grow now. That's not true. It takes obedience at every step to learn what Christ wants us to learn at that step, so that we can grow incrementally. Does it make sense? Can I encourage us, as we say, oh, Brother Johnny, it's very hard to follow Jesus. No, it's not. You just have to obey what God wants you to do. Just do at that point what He wants you to do. Alright? You can't be a super Christian. In fact, if you talk to people like Elijah, if he's alive today, he'll tell you, I'm just like any ordinary human being. Right? In James chapter 5, Elijah caught fire down from heaven. But you know what James say? He's just the same as you and me. Except that he grew in his faith as well. Okay? So can I encourage you with that? Now, what is a habit? Now, we shift figures now. What is a habit? What is the definition of a habit? What's a habit? All those in PSLE, I'm not speaking on these people. If you take a PSLE this year, you need to define habit. What's the meaning of habit? What is a habit? Anyone? What is a habit? Paul already cannot say. What's a habit? You know, we don't really think about that, right? Okay, but anyway, I'll give it to you, right? Okay, habit comes from the Latin word habitus, which means to have. To have. Okay, to have. Habit is that which is held on to or retained, which is the result of frequent repetition. Okay? It is a practice of the body or the mind that one develops by frequent repetition of the same thing. A habit is something held on to, which is the effect of frequent repetition. Let me give you something interesting. Now, how many of us can play badminton? I think most of us can play badminton. Do you know how many strokes it takes to master badminton? Sometimes you see those people play badminton, they go back, and they go, and then they go, and they think they are nuts, right? They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and keep going, and then go to a different part. Do you realize, in research, it takes 3,000 practice of the same pace to master that stroke. 3,000 repetitions. So that it literally becomes part and parcel. What do you think? Lee Chong Wei? Lee Chong Wei is the top badminton player in the world, and he's a Malaysian. How do you think he got the top? You think he just kind of, I'm going to play badminton today, and he became world champion? No, the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of practice, going through the same thing again and again and again. It becomes a habit, and that's what made him a champion. You know, the time spent in practicing the habits will make you to become the person that you need to be. What is the relevance of that to the Christian life? How many of us give up Bible reading just because it's boring? And I say this, if you would learn the habits of Jesus, you will become more like Him. And we want to highlight 8 habits of Jesus. Number 1, very quickly, the Lord Jesus had a habit of praying. Okay, let me just read in Mark chapter 1 verse 35. Let's actually Mark chapter 1 verse 35. I just read a few verses. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. and there prayed. In Luke 5:16, the Bible says he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. The Lord Jesus Christ had a habit of praying. When did he pray? Number one, he prayed for the Father's will when choosing the disciples. Choosing the disciples was an important time in the Lord Jesus' life. Do you realize why? Because Jesus knew that these 12 are going to take the Great Commission after he leaves and goes back to heaven. And so the choice of the people that are going to take over is very important. You know what he did? The Bible says in Luke 6:12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And the Bible is not exaggerating. Jesus spent the whole night in prayer because he knew the next day he was going to have to choose 12 men that would take over his ministry so that the world will know Jesus. And Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. Do we seek the Lord's will before we even make a decision in our lives? There was one time that our family, we just kind of, this is just an illustration. We wanted to buy a camera. We wanted to buy a camera and we had a budget. And so we decided to, we prayed first before we went to buy. And thankfully, we actually found one that's within our budget that's pretty okay. It's a Samsung one. It's a Samsung one, which many, many years ago, all right? We bought it and it lasted us 4 years before he gave up the ghost. So it was, well, money was spent. But for us, it was useful. But you know, even little things like that, God is interested in the small decisions of our lives. You know, one of the things I like to encourage us, every time you're going to make a decision, even for lunch, Lord, where should I go? And then just let the Lord lead you, you know. And I tell you why, because there was one interesting event. One of the members are in our church now because they saw us eating at a particular coffee shop. Okay, I can tell you the story later, but it's interesting. We were eating then. He was just eating by himself many, many years ago. He didn't even know us. And then he looked at us and realized, hey, you guys must be Christians. And then he actually came over. I went over. I can't remember. Are you Christians? Yeah, okay. Are you homeschooler? Yeah, we're homeschooler. Oh, okay, I'm homeschooling too. All right, and then in the end, and now he's in our church. Okay, guess who? That's a youth question for the next Amazing Race. Who is that the pastor was talking about? All right, okay. But you know what? Even where you are could be a... God has reasons for everything, okay? But you know it's important that we need to seek the Lord's will when you are making an important decision by prayer. In other words, really spend time in prayer, not just say, God help me, and then go off. No, God, you state the situation that, Lord, is this what you want? Okay, number one, he prayed for the Father's will when children... Number two, he prayed daily. Now he prayed daily. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. In Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. You know, every time, apparently, you see some of the situations in the book of the Gospels, the disciples will actually see him praying. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible actually says, when the disciples saw Jesus praying, you know what they did? Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples to pray. Because, you know what, they were seeing the life of Jesus. And Jesus was praying to the point that they want to pray too, so that they can get close to God. We need to pray daily. How many of us actually pray daily? Don't have to put up your hand. Okay? I know all of us pray daily, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? Give thanks for your food, right? I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the time that you actually set apart and actually bring your petitions to God. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. But you know what? We have to deliberately set time apart to pray and communicate with God. Let's pray this way. In Singapore, it's very busy, I know. But you know what? We really need time with God. Amen? We need to pray. That's one of the habits of Jesus. Because if our Savior... You know, Brother Johnny, you know what? The Lord Jesus wasn't as busy as I am. How many of us dare to say that? The Bible says he didn't even have time to eat. Some of us say, Brother Johnny, I can relate to that. I don't have time to eat. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, you know what? If he didn't have time to pray in the daytime, what did he do? The Bible says he spent the whole night in prayer. Brother Johnny, I need to sleep. We let the Lord deal with you there. But you know what? We need to set time to pray. That's what I'm saying. Because one of the habits of Jesus was he prayed on a daily basis. And so must we. We need to set time aside to pray. Number three, the Lord Jesus has a habit of praying for others. not just for yourself, not just for what you need, but Jesus had a habit of praying for others. And I mean literally praying for others. In Luke 22 verse 32, you know, Jesus saw the need in Peter and he said, "But I prayed for thee. I prayed for you, that thy faith fail not, and when thou convertest, strengthen thy brethren." You know, some of us, I believe, pray for others. But you know what? Those who are not, we need to learn to pray for others. Don't just pray about yourself. Pray for others. Because that was a habit of Christ. Another habit that Jesus had in praying was he prays when he was facing crisis in his life. Why do I bring this up? Let me read two verses. In Matthew 26:44, "And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words." In Luke 22:44, "And beginning in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." In these two passages, Jesus was in one of the most terrible times in his life. What was the time? The Garden of Gethsemane. The time that he must decide in his heart whether or not to submit to God's will or not. Well, we know that Jesus will submit. But you know what? In the time of his crisis, what did he do? Listen to this. When Jesus was in the most difficult time in his life, as much as he wanted people close by him, he told the disciples to stay here while I go yonder and pray. In other words, in the time that is most difficult in his life, all Jesus wanted was to be with his Father. You know, sometimes, maybe I'll start with the youth. You know, youth, sometimes when we're in trouble, you know what we want? We want our friends. We want computer games. We want to eat. We want to stay in one place by ourselves. But you know what? You need to want to be with Christ. As a genuine believer in Christ, you know why? Because he cares for you. Amen? Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. But why are you... You know, sometimes it just doesn't make sense for us to... When we get into trouble, don't want Christ. Don't want counsel, don't want anything, just want to be by ourselves. You know what? That's the devil's strategy to block you off and then destroy you. I've seen many Christians, when they face trials, they go to a part, they don't want to talk to anyone, they cut off all communication, and next thing you know, they're off in the world. Why? Because the devil, that's a devil's strategy to isolate you and destroy you. I've seen it so many times. You know, why did God give us the church? Why did God give us the Holy Spirit? To be the Holy Spirit, literally in the Greek, means a paraclete, someone who walks beside you. Don't chase him away. It was Jesus' habit to keep praying. But you know what? In the times of difficulties in his life, Jesus prayed. That was his habit. And some of us, when we go through the trials, you know what? We push everyone else out. Can I say, you can push all the human beings out. Please don't push Jesus out. Because he's with you. And that was his habit. Let's follow Jesus as a disciple. When we go through the times of our lives that are hard, go to Christ in prayer. Close the door. Ignore all kinds of communication. Just communicate with God. Say, "God, you know I have a problem." Go to Christ. Okay, that was his habit. Okay, any questions? Okay, number two. Second habit. The Lord Jesus has a habit of putting God first in his decisions. Putting God first in his decisions. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said this, "My meat, my satisfaction in life is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus' motivation was this: my job, my goal in life is to glorify my Father in heaven. Nothing else. That was his meat. That was his satisfaction. Which was why in Matthew chapter 4, remember the devil came and said, "No, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just change these stones to be bread? Since you're hungry, right? Now let me ask you a question. Is that a reasonable instruction? Since you are hungry, why don't you just change these stones to bread?" Is that a legitimate, reasonable question? Yes, because Jesus also had the power to do so. But you know what Jesus told the devil? What did he say in verse 4? Matthew 4 verse 4. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." You know what, devil? I know I'm hungry. But you know what? Even before I eat, I need to ask God first whether that's his instruction for me. I'm not going to listen to you. Amen? Okay? We need to have the habit of putting God first. In Matthew 26 and verse 36, I think we all know the passage. When Jesus went unto them, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and his two sons Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Now, tarry ye here and watch with me. Jesus was going through a terrible time. And you know what? It was so terrible. The terribleness of Jesus' suffering at Gethsemane, it was terrible not because he was afraid of the pain at Calvary. You know, he was going to be scourged, he was going to be crucified, he was going to have the crown of thorns jammed to his head. But that was not the thing that he was concerned about. You know what he's concerned about? He was concerned that he was going to be separated from his Heavenly Father. He was concerned that he was going to be separated. And he said, how in the world? And so in verse number 39, and he went a bit further and said, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Why do I have to go through this for? But you know what? There was no answer from heaven. You know why? Jesus knew the answer. It was because of us. Jesus had to separate from God the Father because of us. And Jesus said, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But you know what he said? Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou will. Jesus had a habit of pleasing God first, putting God first in every decision. Do we? In other words, before we make any decision, say, Lord, my goal is to put you first. So God, you tell me what to do. Many Christians would have maybe this white piece of paper, and they put all their conditions there and say, God, please sign on the dotted line. By the way, God has a choice whether he wants to sign or not. And that's something as a Christian we need to learn. Because as a disciple of Christ, we submit to Christ what he wants us to do, not what we selfishly want sometimes. Jesus had a habit of putting God first, so must we. Third habit. The Lord Jesus had a habit of faithful church attendance. Let's look at Luke 4:16. Luke 4:16. Luke 4:16. The Bible says in verse 16, the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Remember Jesus of Nazareth? Okay, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was brought up in Nazareth. Okay, and as his custom was, as his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, so, Brother Johnny, this refers to the synagogue. But you know what? Jesus had a. But that was the only time that the Jewish scriptures were read. You agree? In the synagogue was a time the Jewish scriptures were read. And so the Lord Jesus made it a point, a custom, as his custom was, that he was faithful in the house of God every time the scriptures were read. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus had a habit of faithful church attendance. As a disciple, should we follow him? And it's very important for us to understand that, because Paul actually made it an instruction in Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which is a manner of some is. Let's turn there, because I'd like us to take a look at that. God actually has a specific purpose why he wanted the Christians to get together. Hebrews 10:25. The Bible says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. In other words, in that time, there were already people kind of missing church and not willing to say, it's okay if I want to go or not. But he says, as the manner of some is, the reason is this, but exalting one another. And the idea of exalting one another means, the reason why you assemble together is you encourage one another. You know, one of the things when... Let me say this. I think I can speak on behalf of those who first started Ambassador Baptist Mission. You know, when you come for prayer meeting, it's only my family. Initially, okay, and those people who come, initially we don't see growth, it's like, okay. And when my wife teach Sunday school, you know who are the Sunday school children? My children. But you know what? It's just doing it. But you know what? when one person comes, we get encouraged. Another person comes. And when the church begins to grow and then the people begin to realize, hey, God is doing something, we get encouraged. But you know what? When people start to kind of don't come and for reasons that we know and don't know sometimes, you know, it discourages us. But you know what? Can I say this? The Lord Jesus is at every meeting. Would you be there if the President of Singapore says, I want you to come because I'll be there? Would you be there? You not only will be there, you will be in. I tell you, this place will be filled with nice smell. You know, the cleaning group will come 2 days before and start scrubbing everything. Just like, we will make sure everything was spick and span because the President was here. The Lord Jesus is here every time we meet. Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord Jesus promises His presence at every meeting. You know, that's why for missionaries, I know of missionaries overseas. You know, there was one time we visited Pastor Han in Malacca. You know what? You know who are the... He was there, I think, a couple of months. The people attending was our family because we were there, and his family, and only one person that came. But you know what? The place could fill 200. There's only one. But you know what? He kept on going. And thank God, over the years, God has added already. But you know what? Even though that there was one visitor that day, guess what? Jesus was there. Amen? Because that's a promise that He gave. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus had. And by the way, Jesus still maintains His habit of faithful church attendance because He's at every church service where His name is honored. Amen? And so we need to be there too. Let's be faithful in there. Let's practice. Brother Johnny, there are other things I need to do. I know. So did Jesus. But He made it a point that is His spiritual responsibility towards God, that He will make it there. Okay? Let's follow the example of Jesus in faithful church attendance. Number four, the Lord Jesus also had a habit of serving others first before Himself. Serving others first before Himself. Alright? Look at John chapter 17, verse 19. This is His prayer. This is kind of like a summary of His life. Jesus said this, for their sakes, for the disciples' sakes, I sanctify myself. The word sanctify myself means I set myself apart. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is already holy. He's already set apart. But you know, when He was living in this world, this is what Jesus means. I deliberately put myself in a situation where I do only certain things and don't do other things for their sakes. A real life example could be a mom who could have earned $200,000 a year, choose to stay at home to take care of his son who was just given birth. Example. Oh, I could have done this, but you know, for my child's sake, I set myself apart. You know what? That setting apart oftentimes comes with a sacrifice. Jesus left the glories of heaven. And on earth, He left even His own home. Remember the Bible says, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not a place to lay His head. Jesus didn't even have a place. He said, I don't even have a proper place to sleep. But in His prayer, you realize His heart, for their sakes, I set myself apart. In other words, I'm willing to give up all so that someone might come to Christ. Okay? Let's turn to Mark 6, verse 30. I want us to see this. Because in Mark 6, it's the practical outliving of this example that Jesus had. Mark 6, verse 30 to 37. Mark 6, verse 32 says, the Lord Jesus had a habit of serving others. I'm sure there are many, many other illustrations, but this is a good one. And the apostles gathered themselves, verse 30, together unto Jesus, and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into the desert and rest a while. You know, the Lord Jesus had welfare for His disciples. Amen? You know what's welfare? For those in the army, you understand. Huh? This is welfare. Took care of the... Okay, you've been working very hard. In the teachers, I'm sure your whoever, principal, all that will have welfare on you. We need a time out from this. Okay? Because here they say, because they were what? For there were many coming and going, they had no leisure so much as to eat. And He departed into a desert place by ship privately. So in other words, basically, he took a retreat with his disciples. He took a ship, he went to a resort. I don't know where they went to. Okay, but anyway, the Bible says he departed into a desert place by ship privately. They went for a retreat. But in verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion. There you have the word again. What did he do? The Bible said, because they were sheep having no shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was fasted, so first step, he saw the people. He was supposed to be on retreat, right? I'm supposed to be on holiday. Come on, guys, stay away. I need time with my disciples. But when the people came, what did Jesus do? Because his heart had compassion. Listen, he stopped his retreat, turned to the people, and started teaching them again. That's compassion. That's compassion. Look on. Verse 35. And when the day was far spent, you know, more and more they get tired. His disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place and now the time is far spent. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread. He answered and said unto them, no, you give ye them to eat. They came to us, they're tired. Let's do something for them. This illustration of the life of Jesus, do you realize this is characteristic of him? Whenever he saw people in need, he met that need. Amen? One of the habits that Jesus had is a habit of serving others first before himself. In other words, no matter how tired he was, when there was a need, he's there. No matter how tired he was. No matter how tired he was. I was with Brother So one time in, Brother So, he was in, he ministers in one of the countries of this world. And, you know, there was one time I was with him in winter season, about April. It was cold. It was very cold. It was probably down about 5-6 degrees. And I was kind of wrapped up, you know. And he was in front of me. I was in Shanghai that time. He was in Shanghai too. You know, as he was walking, I realized one thing. He walked with a limp. He walked with a limp. Meaning that as he walked, he was doing this. And this missionary has this. The place that he ministers in is not very far away from where he lives. And so generally, he would just. He wouldn't take the bus, he would just walk. And of course, for us, we were nice and cozy, you know, he walked. And of course, he was wrapped up also. But you know, he's carrying his bag and he would limp. And then I noticed that and I asked him later on. He said, no, Rajani, don't worry. The Lord Jesus will take care of me. My knee is like a thermostat or temperature gauge. Means I know when the cold weather is coming. You know, he's still going through that. But you know what? God has used him to reach hundreds of Chinese people for Christ. He has a habit of serving others before himself. Yeah, it's tiring. Serving God is always tiring. But you know what? The Lord Jesus had a habit of serving others before self. In fact, Jesus taught this in Mark 10:45. I'll just read. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Not to be ministered unto. Not to be served, but to serve. Oh, may Ambassador Baptist Church be a church of people who say, Lord, I'll put others first. In other words, when the food comes, I'm not going to be the first one to run to it. I'll let everyone else go first. Right? Usually our sequence is children, ladies, and then the men. Alright? We see what we can do. Because that will be an attitude of the Lord Jesus. You know, we need a heart that serves others before self. Because we will be like our Savior. Would you agree? Let's look at John chapter 13. Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, and this is what he said. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. That was Jesus' specific instructions to his disciples. And it's interesting because it was a night in which before he was betrayed, he wanted his disciples to have the heart of putting others first. So he himself, by example, did it first to wash the feet, the disciples' feet. And we all know washing of feet is reserved only for slaves at that time. And those slaves are slaves that objects to the masters. It was the lowest. It was the lowest job to wash the feet of someone. And Jesus took the lowest job and said, I'm your master, you said so. If I wash your feet, I want you to imitate me. I want you to imitate me. Paul says it like this. Sorry, in verse 13, let me finish that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If Jesus would be willing to serve someone else, every Christian must have this habit of putting someone else first. In other words, if there is one last piece of cake, children, if there's one last Oreo, and there's two person doing this, and the Christian must say, you have it first. If there's two Christians sitting in the room, and there's one full waste paper basket with ants, then what should we do? No, you go first. No, we just say, don't worry about it, I'll do it. Okay? In the youth, they call it eye power. We need to be willing to take a step, because there will be a habit of Jesus. Look at Philippians 2 verse 3 and 4 to 5. I'll just read and just listen to what Paul says about Jesus. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I like what God is saying here. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also. In other words, God is not saying don't care about yourself. Amen? Sometimes we do have to take care of our own things. But you know what God says? Don't just look at yourself. Look also at someone who needs. I can dare say there will be people in this room that have needs. If you open the door and walk outside, there's some time there was this man is still saying that he's just shaggy, we need to reach him somehow. He has needs. Some of us have needs. You know what? We need to be more sensitive for other people sometimes to reach out to them. Okay? So the Lord Jesus had a habit of serving others. Number five. The Lord Jesus has a habit of evangelism. You will find Jesus saying that again and again and again. It all started in Luke chapter 2:49. Remember when he was lost in the Jewish temple? He said to the parents, have you ever wondered how did Jesus get lost? How did Jesus get lost? Children, have you ever wondered how come Jesus can get lost? And then the mother and father didn't see him for 3 days. Angel, if you didn't see mommy and daddy for 3 days, what would you do? What would you do? What would you do? Phoebe? If you don't see mommy and daddy for 3 days, what would you do? You're about 12 years old, right? Jesus was 12, about 12. Or maybe you get closer to 12 now. Ethan, if you didn't see mommy and daddy for 3 days, what would you do? You're 12 years old. Run back home. Huh? Run back home. Okay, you probably got Easy Link and GPS and everything. Let's pretend got no GPS, got no handphone, got you don't even know. For your information, when the Lord Jesus Christ went, you know that they actually went from very far to Jerusalem, alright? You can't actually find the place. How did they get lost? Just for Bible knowledge, alright? They didn't go like, you know, in today, mother, father, and son, not three. Usually they go in whole villages. Alright? Because 3 times a year they're supposed to go to the Jerusalem temple. And so usually they go as a whole group. So usually they'll think, okay, Jesus is probably with his cousins and whoever. But hey, where? After 3 days, where is Jesus? So they thought it was in the company of the other family members, but he wasn't there. Okay, that's why they had to go and look for him. But what was Jesus doing at the temple? He was busy asking questions. He was busy interacting with the so-called doctors of the law. And when the parents came, the parents came and Jesus, why did you do this to us? You know what did Jesus say? What did he say? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Children, are you listening? Jesus at 12 years old said this. Don't you know I must be about my Heavenly Father's business? In other words, children, you can serve God. You can. Okay, thank God sometimes Tuesday, Wednesday, the children do go like tracting, they try to give tracts and all that. You can serve God. Do some small thing. Parents, don't stop your children from serving God. If your children can serve God, in fact, parents, you need to actively think, how can I get my child to do something for God? Take a step of faith. The Lord Jesus from young already had this habit. Then in Mark chapter 1:38, I'll just read a few verses, and then you see the heart of Christ. In Mark 1:38, there were many people who wanted Jesus to stay where he is, but this is what he said. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. In Luke 4:43, he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. In John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. In Matthew 9:37, he said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Go ye therefore. He said, pray ye therefore, not go ye therefore. Pray ye therefore. The law of the harvest. You know what? God is so concerned. Jesus is so concerned for the lost souls. He spent most of his waking hours trying to win someone to Christ. Even when he was tired in John chapter 4. Remember John chapter 4? The woman at the well. Even when he was thirsty, tired, his first priority was a Samaritan woman. Amen? And he even used his thirst as an opportunity to win her to Christ. And he did. And guess what? When he win one, she won the whole city to Christ. Amen? You know what? Jesus had a habit of evangelism. You know, every Christian need to have that habit. For those who came in the Sunday Bible hour, I said this, and I believe the Bible backs it up. Every Christian is a witness appointed by God. And all you need to do is to share what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You just have to be a Christian that tells what Jesus has done for you. Okay? Can I say this? If you're a genuine Christian, you will have what we call a testimony of salvation. How you became a Christian. Every Christian, genuine Christian, will have that. Because if you cannot think of a time that you got saved, it could be that you were never trusted Christ in the first place. Okay, I'm not talking about, I must remember, 15th of January 2001, at 7:45 a.m., 25 seconds, I trusted Christ. That's not what I mean. But if you know at one time that you say, someone shared the gospel, I put my faith in Christ, you will be able to share that. Okay, so everyone who wants to join Ambassador Baptist Church must have that testimony. Because Jesus said, it's upon your confession of your faith in Christ that you're added to the church. Matthew chapter 16. Alright? And so, but Jesus had a habit of evangelism. You know what? If we have no heart to win someone to Christ, we need to work at that, because Jesus had a habit as a disciple, we need to follow him. Okay? Number 6. The Lord Jesus had a habit of honoring his parents. Now I'm hitting the children. Not hitting, I didn't say I'm hitting. The Lord Jesus had a habit of honoring his parents. Okay? In John chapter 2, the Bible said, verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Now when you read that, it's like, so Lord, you're being rude to your parent, woman. You know? Today an American, when they call their, a woman, you know, it's rude. But in those Jewish times, it's not. Okay, it's not a... Okay, three things. Number one, Jesus' reference to his mother as a woman is not as harsh as it might seem. A comparable modern equivalent would be, my dear lady. My dear lady. Okay? Alright? I think some of the... Children, you are not to call your mother woman in today's context. Alright, you call it mama. Okay, that's an acceptable one. Unless you are a Jewish home. How many Jewish people here? Because in modern day context, it will be a bit rude. Does it make sense? But in Jewish context, it's not. Woman is not a rude term. Okay? But children, don't go, hey, woman. Don't you dare call your mom woman, alright? That would not be the right thing to do. Just call it mama or whatever. And don't call it by first name as well, okay? You need to give respect to your mom and dad, of course. Okay? Now, the phrase could be understood simply as, my lady, this really isn't important. Say, my hour has not come. This really isn't important. You know, the Lord Jesus had such respect and honoring his mom that in John chapter 19, I think you have the verse there, when he was dying on the cross. The mother was his priority. Remember in John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is so concerned with dying for the sins of the world when he was hanging on the cross by such love for his own mom. Then he said, "Look, John, please take care of my mom." You know what that tells us? Today in a culture whereby parents sometimes are pushed into nursing homes. I know a lot of it happens in America. But I can tell you, you will come to Singapore because we are getting so busy that the easy thing would be to pay someone else to do it. But you know what? We need to honor our parents. Children, listen to this. There's two aspects of relating to our parents. Number one, obedience. God demands that. Children, what? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience is a non-negotiable instruction from God. Unless your parent asks you to steal or kill someone, which I don't believe they will. But any other thing like study hard, and parents, can I just say this? When you say study hard, don't just say study hard. Because for the children, study hard means I finish revision one page, finish. I study hard already. Tell them, study from page 1 to 2, finish all, fill in all the blanks, and make sure at the end you can tell me what you learn. You have to define for them. Because for children, they are very... They will define your study hard in a different way. Okay, but anyway, coming back. Children, when you obey your parents, you're honoring God. There's a second aspect to relationship with your parents. You need to honor them. In other words, you will not have any evil thought, any wrong way of relating to them. You will never call them woman in Singapore context, because that will be rude. You will not do anything that will put down the name of your parents. You will not say anything that will bring them down. Why? Because that is honoring someone. Does that make sense? You cannot say you honor your parent and bring them down on the next breath. Agree? That's what the honor means, giving reverence. You cannot reverence your parents. In other words, by the way, in the Ten Commandments, God says, honor your parents. In other words, put them. The word father and mother is actually a title. It is not merely a name that you call. It's a title God gave, a father and a mother. And God says you are to put that title on a level that is honorable, that God puts it. And you know what? Those people who dishonor their parents, what did God do? Stoned to death. That shows you how serious God is about honoring your parents. And you know what? I know you may learn many things in school, but this is what God says. You honor your parents. And how is you put in first? The man says, clean the house, clean the house. Do the best you can. Make it sparkling clean. That when she walk in, she may slip and fall. Do the best you can. Alright? Do the very best you can. If mom asks you to write one page, do the best handwriting. Use the best pen or whatever. Because you know what? You want to honor them. And that's a trick. When you need to honor them, they'll honor you. Amen? In other words, if you want that milkshake, they might just buy it for you. Because you do those things that are pleasing in their sight. Children, honor your parents. From today onwards, whatever they say is yes, I'll do it. Even you may find them unreasonable. You can speak with them, but you know what? Obey them. But you know what? More than that, have an attitude of honoring them in your heart. That you... By the way, parents are not perfect. That's why we need to pray for them too. Some of you may have unsafe parents. You know what? Pray for them. But honor them. You'll be surprised what God can do. Because God says, you will obey me. You'll be surprised what I can do through your life. Amen? Because Jesus... By the way, if you do that, you're just following the example of Jesus. He honored his mother. But how many of you ask, where was Joseph? History had it that he probably passed away already. So we don't know. Apparently Joseph wasn't seen much after the first few chapters of the Bible. And so some people believe Joseph actually passed away. And Jesus so-called had the responsibility of taking care of his mom. But you know what John the disciple did? It's interesting because it is said that John the disciple, who took care of Jesus' mother, never went on mission trip until Jesus' mother passed away. And then he went. Alright, he ministered where he was so that he could take care of the mom as well. You know what? As much as parents, we know that it's our job to lay up for our children. Parents, our children is your job to honor them. For the simple reason they brought you into this world with life. And they did all they can to take care of you. The least we can do is to honor them. Alright? And so that is what the Bible teaches. And when we do that, we're honoring our parents and we're becoming more like the Lord Jesus. Okay? Habit number 7, very quickly. The Lord Jesus also has a habit of focusing on the spiritual more than the physical. He has a habit of focusing more on the spiritual more than the physical. Look at John chapter 4. This was a time when after Jesus preached to the Samaritan woman, and then the Samaritan woman went off to tell the people in Samaria. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Had any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. So the disciples went to buy some food. But Jesus, before, as they went to buy some food, Jesus was speaking to someone about Jesus Christ, about himself, about eternal life. So when the disciples came back, they said, Pastor, eat. Master, eat. And then Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. It's like, Lord, what are you talking about? Many times when Jesus spoke, we realized the disciples were blurred. You know what does that tell us? As Christians, many times we can be misunderstood. Sometimes when you choose to focus on the spiritual, people may either call you a holier than thou, or they may say other things. But you know what? If you're a disciple of Christ, Jesus tended to focus more on the spiritual than the physical. Does that make sense? And so with this, we also see in Matthew 6:25, 6:30, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, Christians, we need to learn from the habit of the Lord Jesus. As much as we need to settle our daily bread and butter, we need to put things on a higher plane, because Jesus says, don't just look on those daily needs. Isn't your life more than food? Is it more than food? There are other more important things as well. Matthew 6:30, Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? In other words, sometimes when we are doing our exams, when we are working, you know what we need to learn? Lord, help me to remember I'm doing this not because I have to, it's because I love you and I want to obey my master in heaven. That's why I'm working hard. You know what, children, when you study for your exams, don't just study to get 100 marks. Study to get 100s for Christ. You know what? Because if you understand who you're doing it for, at the end of the day, God will reward you. The question is, what is your spiritual motivation? Why do you go to work? Why do you go to work? Singapore lah, work until die one what? Why do you go to work? You know, work is ordained by God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they worked. The only difference is that they didn't complain. They enjoyed work. After sin, we all complain about work. But work is still ordained by God. Does that make sense? And therefore, when you sweep the floor, you sweep it to the glory of God. Does that make sense? When you come to church, I'm not coming to church to see my friend. I'm coming to church to worship God. When I study and go to school, I'm there because God gave me an opportunity to be there to learn so I can perhaps influence someone and do well for Christ. We need to have a habit of focusing on the spiritual more than the physical. You know, even you go for holidays because you want to be close to God or see something of God's grace. Always put God in your mind. Last habit. The Lord Jesus has a habit of pleasing God. His entire life is wrapped up with one purpose: please God. In John 5:19, let me just read and you listen. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. The Lord Jesus imitates the Father, but in verse John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And Jesus is not boasting. He did things always to please Him, to the point that God, in two instances, Matthew 3, Matthew 17, spoke audibly from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." Does it make sense? Jesus had a habit in His life of doing everything, including His attitude, to please God. As we conclude, in John chapter 10, verse 27, as we conclude, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If we are a Christian today, these eight habits, let me ask you a question. Is it in your life? Is it, Brother Johnny, is not? Well, if you're a genuine Christian, what is your heart about that? Is God working in your life? Is it, Lord, these eight habits are, out of eight, I've got three in my life. Well, then, it could be that God, okay, then work on one. Work on one. Start putting things that will make you more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because John, 1 John 2:6 says this, "He that saith he abideth in Him also, he that abideth in Him ought also himself to walk, even as He walked." You know, some people hear me and say, "Brother Johnny, why should I follow this carpenter of Galilee? He's just a man. Why should I follow him? Why should I follow his habit? Why should I follow him?" You know, you should follow him because he's the Son of God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He gave up all so that you and I can have life, and life eternal. But he also came not only to give us life, but to show us how to live. Amen. Firstly, he showed us how to live in the family, how to honor our parents, how to obey them. But also how, then as he lived on, he showed probably how to be diligent in his work, because the Bible says he had favor with God and man. And people may not like what he believed, but you know, they appreciated him, they liked him, that he had favor. As he grew up, many people flocked to him, not because he was cool. Now, Jesus wasn't the most cool guy in town. Because you know why? He will shout at the Pharisees and say, "You get out of this temple. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God." Huh? I don't think that's very cool today. Jesus would denounce the Pharisees. Jesus would expose sin. He's not very cool. But people still flock to him. You know why? Through his life of loving someone else, of giving himself, of serving others, of praying for others, God allowed him, or many people, to be attracted to him. At his cross, he died and show what it means to forgive. To a world that hatred is reigning, right? Nations fight against nation. You know what Jesus said? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then as he rose from the dead, he proved himself once for all that he is what he said he was, the Lord Jesus Christ, creator of heaven and earth, the resurrected Savior, our Savior. And Christian, is he your Savior today? If he is, you know what Jesus tells us? Follow me. And these are just eight habits. You know, one of the things in my heart as we talk about discipleship, I was thinking, rather than just preaching on what you must do, we need to know who Jesus is so we can follow him. So there are eight habits for us to... Is the Lord? Are we following the Lord in these eight habits? Can I say this? I'm in this too. There are some areas I need to work on as well. But you know, together, let's encourage one another and let's be more like the Lord Jesus. But if you have never trusted Christ, you need to come to him, because only Jesus is able to bring you to heaven. Because he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father but by me." And if you trust Christ with all your heart, he will wash away your sin, forgive your sin, and bring you to heaven. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for showing us in your word. And Father, it is your will that every child of yours follow you. Because thy word teaches us in John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me." Oh Lord, it is just a statement of fact that the sheep will follow the shepherd. Lord, We ask you to forgive us many times that we fail to follow you in some areas. Lord, we ask, we know that you are a God full of love and compassion, a God full of mercy and grace, a God who would look at our deepest needs, and Lord, you will not stop at anything to help us. That Father, no matter there's a need, no matter how hard, because you're all powerful, you're able to intervene, and you will, because you promise you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we know, Lord, that you have been faithful to us from the time we were born to right now. You were faithful every step of our way, Lord, even though sometimes we have lost our way, even though sometimes perhaps through things we've done we were unfaithful to you. But God, you have been faithful to us. Lord, you through your mercies have shown yourself to be not just a God far away, but a God who loves us so tenderly. So even in Isaiah 49, when you said, would a mother forget her sucking child? You said clearly, Lord, even if the mother, and we know today many mothers forsake their own child. But God, thank you in your word, you promised, you said you will never forsake your child. And Lord, for that we are grateful and we are thankful. And at the same time for that, Lord, we remember that you ask us to follow you. Lord, we ask you to work in our hearts. With the eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Has the Lord spoken to you about one area in your life that is not a habit? That you know it's there, you know it's right, but you know you just find it hard. It could be that you're trying to do it in your own strength. All Jesus asks of you is to come and follow me with a heart of submission and simple obedience. Yes, there may be some consequences, there may be some life adjustments, but Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. It could be we are struggling so much in life, it's because we are not choosing to follow Christ. You know, it's a Lord speaking to us today. If you say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me in some area of my life, I don't know what, but God does. Would you put up your right hand? I'll pray for you that God will help you to develop that area. Amen. I see that hand. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. Amen. Just put it up and put it down. And then when you identify that area, say, Lord, this is one area I need you to work on. Help me. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand. Just put it up and put it down. And then pray in your heart for the area that God has spoken to you about. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Can I just ask you one more question? If you're here today, you're not a Christian, but you know Jesus Christ loves you, and perhaps you've been here many, many times. Hey, Brother Johnny, I don't know. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Could someone please show me? Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand, and I'll pray for you. And get someone to show you. Is there anyone? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for what you have done in the life of some of these people who have put up their hands. God, we know change is not possible without the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Father, I'm asking you for those people who have put up their hands. Lord, I don't know what the need is, but God, I just want to be a blessing by praying. Lord, I pray that you would take the decisions that they are making in their hearts right now. And God, you will seal it, you consolidate it, and Father, you will make it true in their lives. That, Lord, they will become more and more a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will crystallize that in their lives as only you can. God, may they put faith in what they have heard today and say, Lord, you have spoken to me. This is one area I need to work on. Lord, please do something in our lives. I pray for your power. I pray for your grace. God, I pray for you to even control the situations around our lives so that we can, the people who have put up their hands, Lord, will find it just that bit easier to do what they need to do to honor you. God, we know change, and change in our lives is often a hard thing. But God, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so God, I'm asking you to strengthen the believers right now, those who have put up their hand and said, Pastor, pray for me. God, I'm praying right now and I ask you to do a mighty work in these people's life, that their lives will be changed, the people will see that change. And people will see Christ in these people's lives. I pray for us, even for those who have not put up their hands. Lord, it could be that some are struggling. I pray for you, Lord, to help them see surrender to Christ is always the best thing. Because why? Because of your great love for us and your willingness to help us. Lord, help them to see when you died to save us, you live to help us live. Help us, Lord, to put our lives in your hands. Lord, I pray for one who may not know Jesus as their personal Savior. Lord, I ask you to touch their lives too. That they will not find peace until they find peace in Christ. God, for the rest of us who are pressing on, God, just give us that encouragement in our lives and our hearts. That God, we will keep on running the race until we see your face. Lord, we thank you for all these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.